All right, how are you guys this morning? You good? All right, good. Well, I'm glad to see you. Glad you're here this morning. It's a blessing. So I got the call. Actually, I didn't get a call. I got a text on Friday night that Jeff wasn't able to make it, and he wasn't going to be able to teach. So anyway, I quickly was like, he texted and said, hey, do you want to fill in for me? And I'm like, ah! Yeah, I mean, really, that's what I was like. That was what was in my heart, right? So, but I'm like, yeah, of course, I would do that. So, so anyway, I have that privilege to do that this morning. I'm glad to do it. And I, so obviously I was praying about where the Lord would want to go with this. And you know what? I was touched last week as Jeff was talking about the altar and just the fact that, you know, that fire, he talked about that in chapter 27 of Exodus. He talked about the altar and the fire that was burning there, it was lit and it was burning continuously all the time. And they would take those coals and they would start the altar in wherever they were on their journeys. And that fire was continuously being kept. It was continuously being fed and it was continuously on fire. And he talked about the Holy Spirit in that and linking that to the working and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so I thought that that would be a really great jumping off point and a good topic for us to talk about this morning. And so we're going to talk about the promise of the Holy Spirit and the foundation that the Holy Spirit really is in our hearts and our lives. You know, we've been going through the Old Covenant, right? And the Old Testament, which is really amazing. There's a lot of awesome nuggets there, but it's amazing how it connects. Have you seen that? And have you loved to see that? How it connects to the New Testament. It's like this physical pattern of what God is doing, physical thing, and it translates into the New Testament and the New Covenant into a spiritual way. And it helps us define and understand what God is doing. And so it becomes a picture. And I just love that about the Old Testament. So with the Spirit, there is that whole idea there as well in the Spirit. There was the promise of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. And so let's pray before we get started here. We'll just offer our hearts to the Lord. Lord, we're just really thankful for your word. We're thankful for what we have before us. We're thankful for Jeff and just the teaching that we have been receiving through Exodus. Lord, we pray that you would just be with him. We're thankful that you know, that you are healing him and all. And Lord, we just thank you that you take care of us even when we're down and out and when we're sick or tired or, you know, all of those things kind of come together. And we're just thankful for your care over our lives. And we thank you for that in Jeff's life. And we pray that you would just bless him. Thank you for all the things that Jeff and Elizabeth do in the church. We pray that even this Sunday that they would just be blessed as you sow into their hearts and into their lives. And as we go to your word this morning and as we look at the promise of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray that you would direct and lead us in the way that is so dear and personal to each of our own hearts. I know we all come from different places, maybe even different teachings that we've heard on the Holy Spirit. We come from all kinds of different parts of the body of Christ. And we come from different circumstances. And we come from different situations, different people that we're combining our lives with. And so, Lord, we just really pray that you would just lead and guide us in that beautiful way that you do through the power of your Spirit. And so, Lord, make your word come alive. Lord, we want to have open and ready hearts to receive from you. We want our lives to be like that soil that is tilled up. A lot of times that's not a lot of fun. A lot of times it comes through the trial and tribulation that we suffer in the world. And yet we want to be like that soil that's just ready to receive your word and receive what you have to say to us and to bring alive what we have written here in your word. So, Lord, I just thank you for each one that's here. It's a blessing. It's not a coincidence that we are here this morning. We know that you're working, and we pray that you would be glorified, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to start off in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And this is kind of going to be where we kind of camp out. We're going to start and end here, but we're going to go through a lot of different scriptures as we go. And I'm sorry, I didn't have time to put all the scriptures together so that we could get them up on the screen. So you're going to have to fumble through with me. but it's good. That's good for us to do. We need to be doing that, going through the Word of God together. And I love to hear the pages turn. That's an awesome thing. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, we're going to read this, and this is where we're going to jump off into some other things. So, in Him, in Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So where we wanted to jump off, you know, Jeff left off he talked about, you know, the fire of the Holy Spirit being lit in our lives. Well, this is the place where Paul validates what Jeff was talking about there. This is the point. And that point of entry into our hearts and our lives is when we trusted and when we heard the truth of the gospel of our salvation. That is where the Holy Spirit comes in, whom you believed. That's the action part of it. The action part is trusting, hearing, and believing. And that is the point where the Holy Spirit comes into the life of the believer. And what does He do? What does He do? It's really important to see this. He seals us. And that's what the scripture talks about. That we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That we are sealed. And that word there, sealed, is really an important, it's an important word. And what it means is to stamp. And it really has it behind it, this idea of protection or security, that we are sealed, that we are stamped with the Holy Spirit of promise. I mean, this is a foundational, wonderful, beautiful thing that God has done in your life and in my life, in every life where somebody has surrendered their heart, they've trusted and believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in and He seals to protect. And we're going to see that He does not just that, but He does all kinds of other things. But He is the Holy Spirit of promise. That idea there of promise, I think, is really important for us to understand. Behind that idea, I don't know what you guys think about promises, but in my life, you know, oftentimes I look forward to the promise of something. You know, there's that idea of anticipation, or there's that idea of more. You know, that promise is it's a word that we want that. We like the promises. We read through the Bible. We see the scriptures. We see all the promises that God has made and given to us. And those things have the connotation, or they speak to us of the more of the relationship that we have with the Lord. The more aspect of that. And so when we see here that He's the Spirit of promise, the idea there, and I think that we understand that in our lives because we understand that there is more. There's that place where we want to enter into more of what God has. That is the natural stirring up of our hearts and our lives. That's a lot of what fellowship is all about. That's what this time coming to church is really all about. That we're stirred up to the more, to the promises that God has for every single one of us. Those promises, you know, we all are in different places, right? We're all in different places in our life. We have different circumstances. We have had different teaching throughout our life. We have had, you know, all kinds of different things in our life. But we come together in unity here. We listen to the Word of God and what the Spirit has to bring to life in the Word of God. And there's a more aspect of all of that. And so I would just encourage you to allow the Lord to bring you into that place of anticipation of what the Lord can do, what the Lord wants to do. And practically in this, He was the Spirit of promise because He was promised from the very beginning. The Holy Spirit has been working in the world all the way from creation, right? I mean, in Genesis 1, we see that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the deep. He was involved in the creative aspect of what God was doing in the very, very beginning. We see that the Holy Spirit came upon certain people in the Old Testament to do great things for the Lord. King David was anointed by the Holy Spirit. The kings were anointed. The prophets, they were anointed to speak for God. And they spoke the truth of God. We see that the Holy Spirit has been active in all of these different ways, even in the Old Covenant and in the Old Testament. We see that. And so let's go to one of those promises of more in the Old Testament. And it's in Ezekiel, if you'll turn there, to Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going to look at verses 26 and 27. This is one of those great passages of promise that was in the Old Testament. The Old Testament states they were looking towards and looking for the fulfillment of what God says in these verses here. Verse 26 of chapter 36 of Ezekiel, and it says, I will give you, God speaking here, I will give you, the nation of Israel directly, that's who in context he's speaking to, a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. This was a promise of more. Yeah, they had the whole, they had the old covenant, and we have been, you know, we've been going through the parts of that, and God from Mount Sinai and all the things that he did there with Moses in the wilderness, you know, all the old covenant, there was all of the promise that was in all of that, that God would dwell with them and be with them. And yet in that old covenant, he gives the promise of something new, the new work of the Holy Spirit that will come upon the nation of Israel and in extension, all through God's kingdom, this new relationship in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this is really exciting for us to think about, because God wants to us to have that anticipation. And I don't know, you know, I just kind of want to stop here and talk about it, because I don't know if you're feeling that in your life. Are you feeling the anticipation of God doing maybe a fresh new thing through your life? Because the Holy Spirit is oftentimes desiring to take us out of where we are, maybe stuck in our own thinking, stuck in the way that we have been living, or stuck in a way that we've been perceiving a certain circumstance or a situation, or stuck in a way of thinking about someone. You know, we're stuck in this spot. And that anticipation is so good for us, because it shows us that our heart is expecting for God to do something else, to do something fresh, to do something new, or even the faith that it takes to say, I know, Lord, you can do something. I don't know what that might be, but you can do something. You know, I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what your life looks like in all things, but some of those situations are really hard for us. Maybe you have a health issue. And I talked about this in first service about my wife. She's had health issues, you know, for a lot of years. You know, and personally in our lives, we have, you know, come to the Lord and said, we know that you can heal. We know, Lord, that you can do a work in this situation. We know that you can change all the circumstances. We've come up to the front to have prayer for that. She's been anointed with oil in different situations and different times. You know, you get to, but never there has not been a healing on that thing that she has struggled with for her life. But we know that God has promised us more. Scripture talks about that, right? Are we missing it? You know, oftentimes we interpret these things in ways that, you know, are harmful. They can be harmful, you know, and there are places within the church where some churches will say, well, you just don't have enough faith. You need to believe more. He's not doing this or that. You're not having the expected outcome because of this and what you have done or said or whatever. You know, so there's different ways within the church has interpreted those times where we question the things that God has said in his word. The more aspect of what God can do. Do you see the idea that's there? All of us get stuck in some of those things. Maybe you're in a relationship where, you know, there's just bitterness there. There's unforgiveness. You're having a really difficult time of seeing that forgiveness that the Lord says can come in a relationship. You know, we get stuck in these places and we start to interpret things in a way that is just experience, not holding on to what the reality is and what God is really doing. And we lose that anticipation, that excitement for what God may do. And I'm hoping that maybe in what we're talking about here this morning, that you, that I, that us as a body of Christ will be stirred up to go beyond those things where maybe we're stuck in that. Maybe we're stuck in a situation. Maybe the Lord wants to do something here in this and give you an another perspective of that. Because really, in that idea of healing, I know, and we know from the word, that healing will be given. There will be a day when she is completely free of all the pain that she feels and all of those things. There's a day when you will be completely free from all the things that tangle you up inside. There's gonna be the day, and we live in the expectant hope of that day coming. And we know that that's gonna happen. It may not happen exactly like we think it will right now, but there should be that expectation of God doing it. And it is in the power of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. And so let's go to some scriptures here in John chapter 14. This is a beautiful place. I love these scriptures so much. And we have been camped out in Exodus for a time, right, in where Jeff has been teaching. We're going to be in chapter 14, and we are going to be looking at what Jesus taught on the Holy Spirit. And this becomes a foundation. But I want you to think about this. We've gone through the building of the tabernacle, right, and how they were told in Exodus to build the tabernacle. It had the holy place and then the Holy of Holies, right? Well, you can meditate and think on this, but really, these scriptures, I believe, John 14, John 15, John 16, and John 17, these correspond directly to that holy place, the Holy of Holies. This is a special, special place in Scripture. This is a place where we should be really familiar. And there's a couple of good reasons for that. One of the reasons it's so special is this was right before Jesus goes to the cross. This was a time that he spent with his disciples. It was intimate. It was something really personal. It was a time of real hurt where the disciples were really feeling hurt. I mean, think of it. In chapter 14, Peter had just been, in chapter 13, actually, Jesus had said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Peter's like, no way, I'm not going to do that. I would never do that, Lord. And Jesus was very adamant, you will deny me. Can you imagine the grief that was in Peter's heart to know that? Before it ever happened? I mean, this is a very personal, special time. The other thing that he was talking about was his death, that he was going to be leaving them as disciples. He was going to leave them. They had seen all the awesome, wonderful things that he had done. They'd been hanging out with him for 3 years. And yet he's telling them that he's going to leave. See, this impacted them. You can just see the sorrow in their hearts as he starts out chapter 14 and he says, let not your hearts be troubled. He says that because their hearts were troubled. He knew it. They were in a very difficult place. They were in difficult circumstances. And so these chapters here and this teaching that he gives is super, super special. Because it starts with him encouraging them and a lot about the ministry and the working of the Holy Spirit, which he lays the foundation, he lays the road for what is to come, the promised one, the Holy Spirit. And he says, even in this passage, he says, it's to your advantage that I go. That was completely opposite of what they were thinking. They had no idea what he was actually really saying. And yet he spoke right into their need. And I just love that about this time. And he ends in chapter 17 with the idea and the thought of oneness. That even though there's separation and they don't see him personally, that he is one with them and he wants to draw them in to the oneness that he has with the Father. And so within the midst of that, he teaches about the Holy Spirit because it's so important that they knew that and that we know that as his disciples and that this becomes a foundation of anything that we talk about the Holy Spirit, anything that we talk about in the healing, the spectacular things that maybe the church puts forward. No, this is the foundation. This is the basis. This is what Jesus said about what the Holy Spirit will do. And so we want to enter into that and see all that God has for us in this. So in John chapter 14, we're going to start with verses 16 through 18. And this is what they say. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. See the anticipation that's there? I will pray. He hasn't yet, but there is something more that is to come, and that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So this basic idea of, you know, I'm going to send another helper. That idea there, helper is paraclete, come alongside of you. He's going to come alongside. He's going to be alongside everything. And that he's going to abide with you forever. And this is amazing because I think that we can connect that right into the Old Testament, into Exodus, where the presence of the Lord, right, was in the holy place. God's desire was to dwell in the camp with the people. That was God's heart. That was his desire. He wanted to dwell with them in the midst of them. And the same is exactly true for you and me. That is the same desire that he has, is to dwell in the midst of you, in the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of where you're at. He wants to abide, live, dwell with you in whatever you are in. Doesn't matter. You're his, and he wants to dwell in you. He will abide with you. And not just for a little while. He wants to abide forever. He wants to dwell there forever. That's his heart. That's what he wants. That's what he's telling. This is personal. This is what he, you know, think about the disciples. They were like, he's leaving me. No! You know, we spent 3 years here building this ministry, and you're just going to leave? You're just going to go? You're talking about death? You're talking about us not being able to follow you? Jesus speaks into their inadequacies, their fear, their, you know, that circumstance of feeling lonely, Peter rejecting. You know, he doesn't say, everybody, I'm going to abide with everybody, but Peter, because he did this thing. You know, no. No, his heart was to abide with all of them forever. And then we see there a description of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. That is so important that he abides with us and he dwells with us. We need the reminder of that in our lives every time we take a breath. The Spirit of God is with us. He's with us. That is so amazing and so awesome. And the other idea, the world can't see him. They don't know of him. We're gonna look at the relationship of the Holy Spirit with the world here in a minute. But with the believer, it's you know him. And that idea there is in epigenosko, that's the word that is used there in the Greek. And that word has the connotation and the idea behind it of a knowledge that isn't just something that you learn from a book or something like that. It is a knowledge of experience. It's an experiential knowledge through the working of the Holy Spirit, through you know him through the works that he does, through partnering with him. And I love that. I love that idea. It's not like it's just this knowledge that just comes to you. No, there's action involved in it. When we are active, partnering with the Holy Spirit, that we experience him. And we experience it. And then we come to the place where we know him. And the question that I have for you, one of the questions I have for you today is, do you know? Do you know his voice? Have you heard his voice? Have you heard the way that he is working in a situation? Do you have that experience? Because that's what we build our relationship with the Lord and with Jesus on. It's personal. It's experiencing God working in our personal relationship. You know, circumstances, where we're at, what we're doing, who we're relating with, our family, our wife, our husband. The Holy Spirit is with us and he's working. And so we're experiencing him. And so I just want, I think it's really good. I, in my own personal walk with him, a lot of times in my quiet time, those are some of the questions I ask. Am I experiencing the Lord? Have I experienced him this week? Is it recent? Right? I mean, we all have experiences that we've had through the years, right? But what about last week? What about yesterday? What about the day before? You know, are we able to recognize? Are we able to see how he's working? Even in the little things, that we think are just little details of life that really don't matter. God is working. And as we're open to him and as we know him, he's going to reveal himself in ways and even in those things. And then it says here that he dwells with us and he's going to be in you. So he's with you, but he's going to be in you. And that was the promise that was expected. And we know when that happened. That was in John chapter 20, verse 22. Where Jesus, he looks at his disciples, he breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And they did. They received the Holy Spirit. There was a filling of the Holy Spirit. There was an experience of the Spirit taking up residence and dwelling in them. And that was the place where that happened. And so, super awesome. And this verse here, verse 18, is one that comes up. I'm sure that in your life, through your Christian life, this has been very comforting in a lot of different ways. Because Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. This is in the context of what? The person and working of the Holy Spirit. He comes to us through the working of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see even more detail of what that should look like in our lives. How he does, how he comes into our lives. But I love that idea that he will not leave us as orphans. He's not going to just take off here. And I think that it was really special to the disciples at the time. They were in that place of fear, really. I mean, if we're really honest, it was a place of fear. They were fearful. And I think that when we are in that place of fear in a situation, in a circumstance that is over our heads, this is a great verse to remember that Jesus hasn't left us as orphans just to try to figure stuff out. You know, we're just not on the streets of the world trying to find food, trying to, you know, struggle to keep alive. You know, we've heard stories of orphans, right? That's not us. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to provide the things that we need and to function in the life that he has given us and the circumstances that he has blessed us to be in. John 14, 25 through 26. Let's look at that. For me, I just have to flip a page and I'm there. This is what it says. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He had called them to be fishers of men. He had called them into a ministry. They had this idea that somehow, you know, he was the Messiah. You know, they realized that. They realized that something special was happening here. They had all of these ideas that he was going to throw down the government rule and, you know, the Romans and all of that. But no, here he's talking about, no, I have a different plan for you guys. You know, you're going to bear witness for me. You're going to be my ministers. And so he promises that they're not just by themselves, they're just not orphans, but the Helper, the Paraclete is going to come alongside, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He's going to teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all things that I said to you. This is so important for us to see there. It's not just by our own working up of things, but the Holy Spirit is there to teach. We don't have to figure stuff out. We need to pray. We need to be open. We need to be surrendered as we read the Word of God so that he can teach us. You know, I'm saying a bunch of words here, right? You're right. I mean, here I am talking up here. You guys are listening to what I'm saying. What I'm hoping is that the Spirit of God is teaching you. You know, I'm saying words and I'm reading scripture here, but you've been in that spot, right? Where all of a sudden you're hearing a pastor or somebody teach and all of a sudden you're like off on a bunny trail, right? Oftentimes those things are really a blessing because it's the Holy Spirit taking a word that is said and translating that in to the subjective nature of my life. Because we have all these big banners in the Word of God, right? All these big truths, these big ideas, like salvation, like, evangelism, you know, all these things. But how does it filter down? How does it translate into today? How does it translate into my family? How does it translate into my work situation? How does it transfer into, you know, this disagreement that I have? How do the things of God transfer down? That's This is it. The Spirit of God takes the truth of God and he teaches us and he brings to remembrance the things that are needed for that time. That is amazing. And that is where the life of the truth of God, the Word of God, starts to come alive, because the Holy Spirit takes those big objective thoughts and ideas and doctrines of Scripture and brings them into the subjective nature of the things of our life, the little things, the details of life. And that is living. That is powerful. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing to remembrance and teaching us. Let's go to John chapter 15, 26 and 27. And it says here, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So the Spirit, the Helper, comes because he's sent by the Father, and he is the Spirit of truth, and he comes from the Father. It is a gift. It is, you know, we talk about the Holy Spirit. It is a gift to us. He comes from the Father into all of our lives, and he dwells with us, and he testifies of Jesus. And this is how we, you know, I mean, the Scriptures come to us like Galatians 2:20, right? It's not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. These are the things. He testifies. The Holy Spirit brings it up. Jesus is living in me and through me. The power of the Holy Spirit making it known, the truth of Jesus Christ through my life. He is going to testify of me, and you also will bear witness. And he becomes a witness of the things that Jesus says, the things that Jesus has done, the things that Jesus can do. The more of what God has promised to us coming out of the life that we are living through this mortal flesh, the Holy Spirit is moving and working in this. And these things are so foundational. You know, we're not going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. There's lots of passages. I'm going to leave you with those passages when we end. But, you know, we could talk about a lot of things with the Holy Spirit, but these are the foundations. These are the things that need to be right, so we don't go off on all these crazy little paths that a lot of people kind of go, and we assume and we think that the Lord should do this and has to do this in these ways. But these are the foundation, so that in every situation we know, because it might be different how the Lord wants to work and move in our lives. Not all circumstances are the same. Not all people are the same. God has a plan, and he's working through all things to bring his will about. And those are the things that we want to be expressing, the will of God, and that will for whatever situation, whatever people we're around, however God wants to move in that. And so the Holy Spirit is going to move in different ways, and he's going to work in different ways. But these are the foundations of that, that he will testify of Jesus. And he's going to, and we, as his disciples, just like he's talking to his disciples there, we're going to bear witness, because we have been through it. And then it gives that idea. They had been with Jesus, right? But we have that same experience as we are in his word, as we experience his truth in our life. We are with Jesus, his nature and character coming out of the life that we are living. And so we bear witness of who he is, because we know him, and we have been with him. John 16:7-15. This is kind of a long passage. We're going to break this up into two ideas, because one is dealing with the world and one is dealing with the disciples. So in verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in him, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged." This is a passage that deals primarily with the world, but he starts off saying, it is to your advantage that I leave, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I think they had a hard time probably wrapping their mind around that. How would that be an advantage? They had no idea. It was the promise of the Spirit that was going to come to them. And we see that that promise comes in Acts chapter 2, right? In a big way. Well, he comes into them in John 20:22, and then he comes upon them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says that they'll be witnesses, right? So it's to the advantage that Jesus goes away. And so they have the helper that is going to come to them. And then he explains to them how the Holy Spirit is working in the world around them. And primarily that is that he is going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. And this is super important for us to realize, you know, because these things that are really essential for salvation. These things are essential for true repentance. These things are essential for you to be delivered from sin. First of all, to be convicted, to recognize that there is sin. I mean, we're living in a world right now, right, that justifies about everything, right? You can do about anything. If you think it's right, then you can just do it. And that's the way people are living right now. If it's right for you, then you're right. And it's good. You know, morality and the idea of God's law and him defining what sin is and that there's separation that happens when we do things that are not according to his law, that's something that the world has just thrown out the window. But it's something that is super important because that is the beginning of salvation, to recognize sin and to see it. Do you remember that time in your life? You're born again, you realize, oh my gosh, I am not good. There is nothing good that dwells in me. What is happening? I mean, I hear testimony of people like that in a really amazing, overwhelming way. They are overwhelmed by the weight of their sin. And that is super important. That is the working of the Holy Spirit in the world, bringing conviction of sin and of righteousness, that there's something more, that there is righteousness, that there is a law of God. And this is really important for us as believers to understand because we look out at the world, right? And we see all this stuff going on. I mean, it's amazing. Sometimes you feel like things are just crumbling around us. I mean, we see that, just the crumbling of that. I mean, and just the fact that things are crazy. How can people believe the things that they're doing? I mean, one of the things that I think is just so blatantly obvious in my mind, and maybe for you guys too, it's genders. And we're arguing about genders. It's really hard for me to understand how that could happen. Because, I mean, we got bodies, right? Kind of physical in a lot of ways. But there's also mental things. There's hormones. So they have to do all this artificial stuff to make somebody something that they think they are. I mean, it just is so amazing, the deception and the justification of this. And so just last week, I was reading an article and it was talking about some girl that was actually, she died, you know, in a fight or something. I can't remember, but they think it was all gender related. So they're rethinking gender law and how the anti-movement, you know, against all the gender transitional stuff and blah, 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 whatever. You know, they think that that is really hurting because it's making people feel bad about who they are, right? And so that's driving this. If we would just accept this, then they would feel better about themselves and they'd feel like it's okay. That is such a bait and switch. Do you get that? That is a bait and switch. Super, super deceptive. Super deceptive. Because you know what? They feel bad about what they're doing. They know that it's not right. Because they're going against everything that God has said. They're going against everything that God created. They're going against the natural thing that God built into them. And they know it because it's conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it's the bait and switch because they're saying it's us that's creating them feeling bad. No. It's the reality that they know that they are wrong, which Romans 1 says perfectly. The suppression of the truth of God with unrighteousness. And that is what is going on all through our culture. And that is a huge, huge thing to see. We need to see that as believers. We need to see that. That is biblically what is going on in our world. It's the suppression of the righteousness of God. That is why we're seeing things spin out of control. And you can read down through that, and you can see all of the things that are manifestations of what will happen and what people will do. And the end of that is that God, what? Gives them over to what they think. He gives them over to this place, and that's a scary place to be. That's a scary place for a society to be, for an individual to be, but that's what happens. He gives them over to their unrighteousness, to their own definition of who they are. I don't want to be in that place where that, I want the working, I want the more of what God can do. I want the revealing of that. So I don't want to suppress God's truth. I don't want to suppress the working of the Holy Spirit in my life, because we can see in the world where that path goes. And as Christians, when we suppress the truth of God, Jeff talked about this last week, the grieving of the Holy Spirit, right? If we grieve the Holy Spirit, we can do that. We need to be filled, not grieving the Holy Spirit. So it's important for us to understand that is the that's the progression of the flesh. That is the that is the way that the world is going. It defines what is happening around us. And so we need to remember that the people that we are with, people that we're sharing the gospel with, the people that we're living around, you know, that's the mechanism there. They're suppressing the truth of God. So we shouldn't hold back on the truth. We should lovingly give the truth whenever we can. We should be sowing into their life so that the Holy Spirit has a chance to bring conviction, because that's what he does. He brings conviction to the heart. And when that stops happening, what a scary place that is for people. Now, verse 12 is talking to the disciples. All those verses were a lot talking about the world, but here we see that God is talking, or Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." This is, I love this about what Jesus is saying, because he's identifying with where the disciples are at. And he says, "I have more." That first verse there, "I still have many things to say." I love that. Because he is not condemning to them. He's not reprimanding them. He's not saying, you know, you guys, you know, you're not worthy of this. He's saying, you know what, I'm holding off on this, but I've got a lot to say to you. You can't bear them now. But however, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to bring truth, because he is the Spirit of truth. He's going to guide you into all truth and all the things more that I have to say to you, all the things more. He's going to guide into that truth. And I'm so thankful for that. I am so thankful for that. And we know that that truth is based in the person and of Jesus Christ, really. I mean, in John 14, verse 6, right? It says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." It's through him, the truth of who he is. And then we see here in John 17:7, we see that another idea about the truth: sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We have two things there that really define what is the truth. What is the basis of who and what the Holy Spirit is going to do? He's going to reveal to us truth, which is found in the person of Jesus and in the word of truth. But the awesome thing is, those things are basically the same, right? I mean, Jesus is the living word. He is. He's the living word. And that is so amazing. It's all found in him. This word, these written words, these speak of Jesus. All of it speaks of that. You know, another gift that sometimes we see and we talk about is the gift of prophecy, right? And we see it in Scripture. But remember, in Revelation, it says that the spirit of prophet, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's about him. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is making, pushing Jesus to the forefront of who we are, what our experiences are, pushing Jesus into that place so that we will recognize and see him in all things. And that we will be able to not just have the banner of all things are Jesus and all things are in Jesus. He is the truth. But he's making those things, you know, real in the little things of our lives. And that is awesome as we're open, as we're humble, as we're surrendered to him, as we look for it and are expectant to see how God is going to, you know, give us answers in that and how Jesus is going to meet the need in those certain things that we are dealing with. So what he hears, he doesn't speak of his own authority. He's not building his own kingdom. He's not doing his own thing. It's all about Jesus. It's all pushing toward Jesus and to what Jesus can do. What he hears, he's going to speak, and he will tell you the things to come. That's awesome. And we see that throughout the book of Acts. There are a lot of times where the Spirit of God came on them, and they actually would, you know, they would talk about things that were going to happen to the church or what have you. We see Paul talks about that in prophetic passages of scripture. Definitely John was, you know, there was that idea in Revelation for sure of the things to come, what is going to happen at the end of the world, you know, how the kingdom of God is going to come to reign and rule here on the earth. John was given all of that. So we see that the Spirit did that. He did that definitely. But we also want to see that there's another point to that. And I think that it has to do, and it can apply to your life and my life today. You know what, in your situation, no matter what it is, how dark it may be, or how, you know, maybe apathetic you feel about things, you know, God has more. There are things to come. And the Holy Spirit wants to show us things to come in the various situations that we have, the various situation that you are dealing with. That there is something there God is doing in that. And you might not be realizing that right now and in this place, but there is something to come there. And I think that that really is important for us to see so that we don't get locked in our own perspective, but we allow the Holy Spirit to move us into a place where we're ready, we're willing, we're able. We have the Word of God to be able to inject into that situation when the time comes. We're prepared. Because there are things to come, even in the days that we have right now. There are things to come and things that God wants to do. And I think the Holy Spirit wants to stir us up. He wants to declare what is to come in our lives. The other thing there that it says there is that he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That is an amazing scripture that I kind of got hung up in that, and I was going all kinds of different ways, and I thought, I don't even know what this means. You know, so, but I know because it's such a big concept. We know what is his. Everything is his, right? I mean, everything. In Colossians, I mean, I was just blown away by this because everything is his. In Colossians, it says that all things consist in him. He holds them all together. They are all his. In Daniel, we see that the kingdom of God is the whole kingdom is delivered to him. He is the ruler of all things, sovereign over all things. That means that he possesses it all, and it is all his. So the Holy Spirit is here to declare that to you and to declare that to me. What is that going to look like? How does that look like in our lives? We forget that a lot of times. I get anxious. I get worried about my circumstances. But the Holy Spirit wants to declare what is... No, God is sovereign. God owns all this. God has all this. He has all... He can do whatever. That's working of the Holy Spirit in our lives to remind us of that. And the other thing that came into my mind when I was thinking about this was that he's going to remind us and declare that we are his because we're part of that. You are his. The enemy is trying to destroy through tribulation, through trial, through lies, through wrong thinking. But the Holy Spirit is there to declare that you are his. This is a possessive statement that the Holy Spirit is saying, these are Jesus's. These belong to him. He possesses these things. And we fall right into that category. We are his sons. We are his daughters. And I love that song. That's why I put it in. Because we are. We need to be reminded of that. Through the cross, through what Jesus did at the cross, we are his. And we are his possession. And when the lies of the world come in, when the lies of people, when maybe, you know, you've done something that you knew was not right, and the enemy comes in and really wants to bring condemnation into your life, remember, the Holy Spirit is saying, no, that's not you. You're a new creation in Christ. You are his. We can stand on that truth, and we need that truth. You know, the disciples, they were, you know, we have record in history of a lot of things that happened to them. They were persecuted. Many of them were martyred. All of them were martyred. John, they tried to martyr him several times, you know. So, you know, they went through really difficult times. And Jesus knew that, and yet he gave them this promise that that the Holy Spirit would declare what is his. We are his. No matter what anybody says, no matter what the world says, no matter what you think in your own mind, you are the Lord's. And you know, one verse that I want to bring up here, I forgot to do this in the first service, but Philippians 1:6, remember this. And this is, we are his, and he's working. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, he's going to complete it. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a work. That's a scripture. That's a principle. That is something that the Holy Spirit is, you know, bringing up into our hearts and our minds all the time. That he who began that good work, he's going to finish what he started in you to the day of redemption, which goes right back to Ephesians where we started. In him you have trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possessions. That's you, that's me. We are the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. That is awesome. He's going to finish the work that he started in you. You are his, and it is through the working and the moving of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, there's all the gifts out there too, for sure. But this is the foundation. Those verses are the foundation. That's the teaching that Jesus gave on the gifting and the person and the working of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have the other verses, right? Romans 12 talks about the gifts, and it starts out talking about our place. We are to be a living sacrifice set apart for him, a sacrifice for him, that he would work those gifts. And it says down in chapter 12, verse 4 through 10, it talks about the gifting, that we would walk by faith and that we would step out in the gifting that the Holy Spirit gives. Another really great verse, obviously, that you guys know is 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, talks directly about the gifts, but sandwiched in there is love, right? Love. And then we know that Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know, the working of the Holy Spirit. These are all good scriptures to go over and to see those very specific things that the Holy Spirit can do and work in every situation. And then Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 is really good, because it talks about the leadership gifts that are there, that the church needs these to grow and to come into the stature, the fullness, the maturity of Jesus. And it's through the working of the gifting of the Holy Spirit. And so you guys can do, that's a whole other study, right? I mean, and you guys can go through those scriptures and really see what the Lord can reveal to you through that. But he is the guarantee. He's a down payment that God has put upon our lives. Valuable. It's an advantage to us. He directs and moves in every situation, making things come alive in our heart and our life, pushing Jesus forward in all situations and all circumstances. I love that. I love that. And it is something that is going to continue through the rest of our lives and even into eternity, as we are the purchased possession and we are to the praise of his glory.